May 2nd, 2024. We're in Masechet Bava Kama and Kafvav Amud Aleph. Basically, in the middle of the narrow lines where the little marking of Rabbi Akiva Eger is. So it's three words before the end of the line where it says Iba'aya Lehu, and there's that circle which is half filled in. The Gemara, if you recall, we began this safik, this question, the Gemara at the end of the class yesterday. It goes as follows: Iba'aya lehu. The rabbis had the following difficulty. They had the following question: Regel shedaresa al gabet tinok behaser hanizak mahu shetishalem kofir. Is kofir, as we discussed and introduced yesterday, the concept is mentioned in a single place in the Torah, a single place of obligation in the Torah, and that's with regards to keren. If an animal gores a human being, three separate human beings, and then on the fourth goring of a human being, that's keren, where it gores, it's a ki gof, it gores a person, killing the first time, second time, third time. Now it's a shor mu'ad, but it's keren. In such a circumstance, you don't only pay for damages. The animal isn't merely put to death. In addition, there's what's called kofir. Kofir is a specific monetary obligation, which is paid under such circumstances, I think generally translated as a ransom amount. That's the concept known as kofir. Again, kofir is only mentioned, number one, in the context of keren, and number two, in a keren of a shor mu'ad. That's the way we know it in the Torah. When the Torah teaches us laws, though, it doesn't necessarily give you the exhaustive mention and circumstances. We're supposed to derive, based on that mention, to another place, kal vachomer, Gezerah Shavah, Binyanav, etc. We're supposed to do that. When the Torah mentions kofir in the context of keren, can we, should we derive that it doesn't only apply to keren, but it applies to other somewhat similar situations? With regards to human beings, the Gemara told us already, just a few lines up, there's no such concept as kofir. We learned that from the Pasuk, it says, in kofir yushat alav. Alav means on the owner of the animal, and as a result, alav velo al ha'adam. A human being doesn't get kofir for killing another person, doesn't pay that kofir, only the owner of an animal. By extension, Tosafot points out, bor and ish are out as well. If your pit, if your fire kills a person, there's no paying kofir, we have no such safik. All that on the side. Now to the question of the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, if we found kofir in the context of goring, what we call keren, should we apply that further to regel? And by extension, says Tosafot, teshen. What's that question? Again, if my animal killed by goring several times, that I established, and that makes it into a shor mu'ad. Regel means it tramples. Trampling, there's no tam and mu'ad with regards to that. Furthermore, it's only in hatzer hanizak. These are principles we've established already. It's only on private property. If an animal, lo alenu, comes after a baby and tramples on it, do you pay kofir in such a circumstance? Onto someone's property, tramples the baby. By extension, same idea, says Tosafot, if the animal enters onto someone's property and eats the baby, terrible, horrible situation. Do you pay kofir? You're certainly paying for financial obligations. The animal's certainly getting put to death. Does it pay as well kofir? That's the question of the Gemara. The assumption is that since it's not, the only reason we don't have it by a human being is the pasuk in the Torah, yushat ala velo al ha'adam. We don't have a logic per se why kofir doesn't apply to a human being. We know that kofir, the Torah says, lo tikhu kofir in the nefesh rotzeach, that you won't ransom your own life, you won't avoid death penalty by paying money, that much we know. But maybe in addition to death penalty, you pay the money of kofir, the Torah tells us not so. Why? No reason supplied.
Not like a regular human being.
Oh, no. Diber ha-gemara ba-hoveh. When's an animal, by extension, if it trampled on a full-fledged adult human being. Yeah. I think it's just an example of when's this going to arise. When's an animal easily going to trample on? It's going to be a baby. No, not a baby as opposed to an adult.
Is there a kofir in that instance? Is there, or is there
No, because Isho Mishum Hitzav, Isho Mishum Mamono doesn't actually mean that the obligation is Mamon or the obligation is Adam, right? For example, we don't say by Esh that Esh Yohayavan, the next Mishnah, which we're excited to get to, will say Ben Beshogeg, Ben Beones, etc., by with regards to a human being. We don't say that if you say Isho Mishum Hitzav, that it's even be'ones, we just say that the obligation is characterized as if you did it directly. And with regards to an animal, we don't apply those laws either. That's a good question. It's not going to apply according to either of them, and certainly not Isho Misho Mamono of that opinion. All right, anyway, so that's the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara again, Iba'aya lehu, this was the question they had, Regel shedaresa al gabe tinok. If there's an animal which tramples, yes, Nathan, not only a baby, but any human being, Dibera ha-gemara bahove, it'll happen more, unfortunately, with little children. Behaser ha-nizak, of course, it needs to be on private property. The Torah told us explicitly, ubi'er b'ste'acher, regel and shin only apply on private property. We did some of the underwriting yesterday with regards to that. Mahu she-teshalem kofir, is there a payment of kofir? Now, the safek will be spelled out clearly in the Gemara, the two angles and two sides of comparing or not clearly. And then the continued lines will get a little bit confusing. That's my warning from now. It'll just mean we have to keep, as I say in Yiddish, Haltkop, you're going to hold your mind with regards to what we're looking for and how we're deriving it, and the back and forth will hopefully make it through it somewhat swiftly today. Again, it has possibility to confuse you, but we should keep it straight. Says the Gemara, Mi Amrinan. First, with regards to the Safek, it should be easy to define this. Mi Amrinan, do we on the one hand say, Mide Dehava Akerin. Mide Dehava in Aramaic means it's something that's just like Kerin, the next word. In other words, Regel and Shin should be just like Kerin. The trampling, the eating should be just like the goring. Kerin kevan de'ava tere utlata zimne orhehu umshalem kofir hakename la shena. On the one hand, Kerin, once it's what's called a shor mu'ad, that's what we call two or three times of goring and killing, it's orhe, becomes typical of the animal, and the Torah in saying you have to pay kofir, that additional payment for killing alive, applies when the animal is doing what unfortunately has emerged as a typical action. It's done in enough times, the owner should have known better, as a result you're paying kofir. The parallel of that is regel and shin. Regel and shin, we say, is orhe, it's derech, it's typical from the first time. You should know animals trample, you should know animals eat. Animals gore, you need to prove it three times. Animals trample and animals eat, of course, that's what they do, they're animals. Well, that being the case, that's the one angle of comparing. On the one hand, I might say the same way kerin, once it did it three times, it becomes a shor mu'ad, it's orhe, and the Torah says, oh, it's typical fashion, you need to pay extra, you need to pay kofir, so to regel and shin, that's fair enough. Or dilma, what's the reason to distinguish? Or maybe, kerin kavanato lehazik, hai en kavanato lehazik. Alternatively, we said, oh, there's a peculiarity with regards to kerin. Look at kerin, an animal gores. That's more than just eating and trampling. That has an intention to damage. For that, you didn't safeguard your animal and you knew that it had intention to damage. That's when you pay kofir. Beyond that, when your animal was just going to eat, we're going to make you pay. We're not going to make you pay kofir. We can't learn from kerin, which is more severe because the animal has intention, the hazik, as we've discussed a good dozen plus times in the Masechet already, to regel and shin. That's the safek. So we have an equal-sided doubt over here. Should we compare it to regel and shin? It's typical, kerin. Or should we say it's different? It's not the same. Kavanato lahazik or derech halicha or derech hana'a. That's the safek. Now the answer is not going to come from logic. The answer is going to come from a case we're going to read. We're going to assume an understanding of how that was being applied and try to prove it from there. You'll understand what I mean in a moment. There's one attempted proof, a lot of attempted deflections of this proof. Ultimately speaking, this proof stands strong, and that's the conclusion. So I'll tell you punchline from now, so you have something to look forward to. There is kofir by regel and shin. That'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. How we get there is a little bit, roundabout. Tashema, says the Gemara, come and listen from the following beraita. It says the following. Hichnis shoro lehaser ba'al habayit. If a person brings his ox onto someone else's property, that's a negligent, terrible thing to do. You know, oxen are dangerous. You're going onto someone that's not you on the public area. You drove your car onto someone else's property, so to speak. You brought your animal onto shelo bershut, and you didn't have permission to do so. I don't know why you're doing it. Maybe you're just going to greet him, but you shouldn't be doing so. Unigahod ba'al habayit, and your shor, your ox, which is, by definition, wild, gores the owner. Kills vamit, and the owner dies. The first halakha is clear and simple. Hashor biskila. We know that the owner of the shor now loses his shor. The Torah says you kill an ox anytime it kills a person. Any animal which kills a person immediately gets put to death. How? We've asked already. How do you find the case then of shor mu'ad laharog b'nei adam? The answer is, it wasn't yet put to death. Maybe there was a determination in Beit Din, but it didn't yet. Maybe it's all at one time. Whatever, the point is, it's supposed to be put to death. But here's the critical next line, ube'alav, and the owner, ben tam, ben mu'ad, mishalem kof v'shalem divrer bitafon. That's the end of it. Let's translate the words. And the owner needs to pay kofir, okay, that much we know, killed, ben tam, ben mu'ad, kofir shalem. Again, whether the owner is an owner of an animal which has already killed human beings, or even if it's an owner of an animal which is tam, it hasn't yet done it three times, you're paying 100% kofir. Wait a second. The pasuk in the Torah, which I told you by heart in introducing this, only says the concept. I told you there's one place in Torah where we talk about kofir. Imshor nagahu mitimol shil shom. It's on the fourth time. So how did we come up with, not only is there kofir applicable to a shor tam, but I'll go further than that. You're paying 100% kofir on shor tam. The Torah only applies kofir with death. That's the only time. You brought it in, says Nathan. The beginning of this is, it's on Hatzer HaNizak. That's the beginning of it. That's clear. Clearly, what's that? Without permission. That's by definition. I don't know, if you gave me permission, then there's no problem of Hatzer HaNizak. If you tell me, bring your animal on, it can eat, it can do whatever you want. Okay, then I'll...
Tramples you, someone kills them.
But when it's
on,
it's one thing. If you took it in, but the animal doesn't get killed if you took it in?
More severe. Maybe, I'll tell you why. Because maybe we would say if it was birshut, then, I don't know. That's a good question. Let's say it is birshut and it kills. It's not birshut for it to kill. Maybe we would say it's partially your pshia. I'm not certain. But the critical line over here is the fact that Rabbi Tarfon, and we know this Rabbi Tarfon, we'll talk about him in a moment. Again, we know Rabbi Tarfon and Hatzer HaNizak, they have a marriage one to the other. We're familiar with that already. But his statement is, provided that the animal did it on private property, not on Avenue U, not on Avenue J, didn't do it out in the public area, there's a liability to the owner even when the shor is tam. That's very important. That we never saw in the Torah. That's a chidush. We know that shor tam, shor mu'ad, excuse me, pays kofir. We don't know shor tam. We don't know where the bitafon derived this from. We're going to now apply this. It says the Gemara again. So one more time. Tashema means come and listen to the following proof from the following beraita. Hichnis shoro lehasar ba'al habayit. Now keep in mind, by the way, we saw nothing about regel and shin over here. But somehow the background to this is going to be applicable to Regel and Shin. This is a case of Kedim. Nothing to do with our question. Our question was, does Regel and Shin, where the animal tramples, it eats the baby, do you pay kofir? This has nothing to do with it, it seems. Tashema hichnis shoro lahasar ba'al habayit shelo birshut unigaho leba'al habayit umet hashor umet hashor biskila ube'alav, and the owner ben tam ben mu'ad, the owner pays mishalem kofir shalem divrei bitarfon, says the Gemara. Here's the critical conversation. Kofir shalem betam lir bitarfon minale? Question mark. Where did Rabbi Tarfon come up with a concept known as kofesh shalem, full ransom amount, penalty payment, by shortam, by an animal which is not yet a goring animal, not yet a shor mu'ad? Lav mishum is the reason, not because of. Now this next line is going to be our critical line. It's going to be what we're going to be challenging the next 10 lines of the Gemara, but it's going to emerge as the victorious one. What's the line? Mishum desavar lekirbi oseha gilili de'amar tam mishalem hatzi kofer bereshut harabim umayetela mikal vachomer miregel alma ika kofer beregel. So this is what we need to spend a few minutes to understand. There's a few factors over here to get to this. We got to keep everything in mind because there's still more to come. So it goes like this one more time. We're trying to understand. Rabbi Tarfon made up, created for us a new entity of kofir by Shor Tam in private property. We call it Reshut HaNizak. The suggestion of the Gemara is because there are two factors at play. Number one, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef HaGilili. Never explicitly spelled out, alluded to later on in the Beraita, later in our Masechet, but claims over here, says the Gemara, his opinion is, although the Torah never explicitly states this, there's a concept of hatzi kofir that we also never found in a pasuk. What's hatzi kofir? Whereas if the animal gored three times and killed three times, on the fourth time, you're paying a full ransom amount for this kapara, this full amount. The first three times, not scot-free. You're certainly the animal supposed to be put to death. Certainly you're paying for nizik, absolutely. But in addition, you're paying half kofir. The same way you're paying half damage, if the animal just damaged, you're paying half kofir. That's the assumption. Torah never said that. We're accepting that as true. So let's review that one more time. It goes like this. If an animal killed someone out in the public area, first time, second time, third time, Torah never addresses paying kofir, says Rabbi Yosef HaGilili, half kofir. Okay, that's the beginning of it. Now, fourth time, full kofir. Now, that being the case, what happens as a result of us realizing that there's a concept known as half kofir? Does that therefore mean that we should play with this according to the Rabbi Tarfon? Well, let's remember Rabbi Tarfon's opinion in general. We need A.B. Cohen for this one. This is his line. What's the halakha, or Judah, because Judah's clear, he loves Rabbi Tarfon on this. What's the halakha with regards to shor tam damage? No killing, bereshut hanizak. Again, an animal comes onto your property, my dog, and attacks your cat. Doesn't kill it, maybe kills it. It's a cat, it's not a human being. It damages it. We don't know how much you decide, kidding. You decide in half. That's the halakha, that's hachamim. We had a whole sugya in the Mishnah which started with, and we talked about this some six, seven times already on Masechet, how Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with this. What's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion? That shor tam bereshut hanizak, 100%. I brought my dog onto your property, audacity, it attacked your cat, I'm paying 100%. There's no leniency. Where did Rabbi Tarfon come up with that? How'd he derive that? He had a kal vachomer. This is all going off of that Mishnah. The kal vachomer went as follows. I know a lot of factors at play over here. The kal vachomer went as follows. If shor, when it's a kirin, when it's goring, is liable in Reshut HaRabim, half, but it's liable. How much is Regel and Shen liable in Reshut HaRabim? Zero, which means Shortam is more severe, yes? Now, if I bring that into Hatzer HaNizah, I bring it into private property, how much is Regel and Shen, the more lenient ones paying? No, Regel and Shen, 100%. How much then should Kerin pay? 100%. Kal Vachomer, that was Rabbi Tarfon's Derashah. What's that? Not according to the Bitarfon. According to the Bitarfon, Keren Bershut. So in the Mishnah, we measure a lot of times in Masechet, Maybe someone came up to him at work, and I'm making up half of the story, but this is the story. He told me, and I'm embellishing it. Someone wanted to close a deal with him, so he said, do you study Talmud? So he said, yeah, sure. He said, what do you learn? He said, Masechet Bava Kama. He said, I have a question. I want to test that you actually know it. So he said to him, what's the halakha with regards to, I imagine someone patronizing him and everything like that. What's the halakha with regards to a short term in Reshut HaNizak? So Abi, without missing a beat, said, it's Mahlokir Bitafon Chachamim. Close the deal right away. I mean, he didn't tell me that last part, but that's the way I make this one out to be. Anyway, so the point here in the Gemara is that a bitarfon, we know with regards to damage, we know that's his opinion. It's the same rabbi over here. Shortam Bereshut HaNizak pays 100%. He had a kal vachomer. The assumption of the Gemara is that's how he got to this kofir business as well. What do you mean? Well, it goes like this. Kofir, his assumption was, like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, put that in parentheses, that this kofir in Reshut HaRabim for short time, half. Yes? Kofir in Reshut HaRabim for regular shin, zero. Now bring it into Hatzer HaNizak. Kofir for regular shin is how much? 100%. How much is kofir going to be for short time in Reshut HaNizak? 100% as well. Wait a second, did you hear what you just said? We just said that Regel and Shin and Reshut HaNizak is paying 100% kofir. Who told you that? Where'd you come up with that? Clearly we're assuming in the question we started the class with today, we ended it with yesterday, that Regel and Shin has a concept known as kofir. Let's review it one more time. It's important for the continued lines of the Gemara. Again, our question is with regards to Regel and Shin, is there kofir payment or not? What's kofir payment? The extra payment upon killing a person, lo aleinu. We know we have it by kerem. That's what we know. Says Rabbi Tarfon, you have it by shortam in Reshut HaNizak on private property, 100%. Where you come up with that? That's not in the Torah. It must be Rabbi Tarfon. He didn't tell us, but we're figuring it out. Must be he had a kal vachomer. The same kal vachomer he has to apply 100% damage on private property, he must do with regards to kofir. There's an assumption in that. The assumption is that there's kofir which is applicable to regel and shin. If there was no kofir applicable to regel and shin, you don't have a kal vachomer. The kal vachomer is, if in Reshut HaRabim regel and shin is zero and shortam is 50%, then in Hatzer HaNizak on the private property where regel and shin is 100%, whoa, what do you mean 100%? Who told you 100% on regel and shin? The Torah never said kofir by regel and shin. Rabbi Tarfon must be assuming that regel and shin has kofir. That's the proof of the Gemara. Says the Gemara again, that's the Tashemat. Says the Gemara, kofir shalem betam l'Rabbi Tarfon minale? Question mark. It's a setup question. Where'd he come up with paying 100% kofir by shortam in Reshut HaNizak? Never heard of such a thing. Torah never says you pay anything kofir-wise by shortam. Lav mishum, is it not because the savale k'Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? Is it not because his opinion is, A, like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, da'amar tam mishalim hatzi kofir b'Reshut HaRabim? Apparently there's such a concept, and the Torah never told us this one either, a 50% kofir in public area. Umayetela, and then he derives, mayete means he brings this, mikal vachomer miregel. He then applies a kal vachomer identical to his nezek kal vachomer from regel in the context of kofir. Alma with an aleph means it's clear, ika, there is kofir beregel. That's the Gemara's attempted proof. Now the Gemara's next 8 lines or so is attempting to deflect. I'm just quickly skipping down for a moment or two, because we'll end there. If you just look right before the Mishnah, the final 2 lines over here, Shema mina mikofer deregel mayetela alma ika kofer beregel shema mina. So we do end with that. We end with there being kofer and regel. We just need to finish all the fine print over here. We just need to challenge this and resolve it and challenge it and resolve it. What's that? No such thing as tam by regel. Right? Regel is one of the 5 mu'adim mitahilatam. An owner of an animal needs to know that it tramples. That's mu'ad. It's typical. An owner of an animal needs to know that it eats. It's mu'ad mitahilato. The only time we talk about tam is by kerim.
Let's say the owner didn't know. There was no
edim
or anything like that.
No edim, no nothing. That's not mu'ad. Whoa. By regel or by edim?
By regel or by edim?
It's always mu'ad, so there's no hatra'ah, that's fine, but you need witnesses. If you don't have witnesses, you're not...
The opening statement in the beginning of the class is out the window.
Opening statement was not a statement, it was a question.
Oh, it was a question? The fourth time is the only time...
We know that that's what the Torah mentions. That was a statement. But the Torah tells... Let me tell you something else. The Torah only mentions that you can't kindle fire on Shabbat. And we got a whole slew of things that are forbidden on Shabbat. We derive them either from tradition or from extracting it from Derashot. So yes, the Torah only mentions that explicitly. But now we're doing the whole logical Torah Shbaal Peh business. So that, it was a safek. The question was, the Torah only mentions it there. How do I apply this? What do I derive from this? So it was a question. The answer to that question, as we're applying it, and we're going to conclude with this, is yes, it applies not only to Kirin, but also to Regel.
According to the reason of one's logic throughout, he should then say, Mu'ad should pay a full kofir, because Tam is less severe, and he's paying Chatzi kofir. Then why is he saying
Mu'ad
and
Tam
on the same
kofir?
Should be
only in Rishut HaNizak.
So
in Rishut HaRabim, that's by Nizik. By Nizik. How does it work by Nizik? In Rishut HaRabim, Shor Tam pays 50%, Shor Mu'ad pays 100%. In Rishut HaNizak, on private property, Shor Mu'ad, of course, 100%. Even Shor Tam pays 100%. Same thing over here.
But it's not, no, Kofir is saying Chatzi,
no? No, he's saying Shor Tam Berishut HaNizak is paying 100%. Right, it's an identical, that's the assumption, which means you're using Regel. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Amar Rav Shimi min Harde'a Tana min Nizikin de Regel Mayetela. Says the Gemara, maybe we went too far. Maybe this was all too many assumptions. Maybe the Dirasha is a little bit more difficult to pull off. But it goes just as follows: we're extracting from the world of nezik, of damage, to the world of killing and kofir. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, the Kal Vachomer is similar, but it never has that jump of there being kofir by regil. In other words, it goes as follows: I look at Regel and Kerin, Shin and Kerin, in the world of Nizikin. And I said, well, let me pay attention to this. In the world of Nizikin, Kerin seems to be, in Rishut HaRabim, more powerful, more severe than Regel. And I applied that in Rishut HaNizak. Likewise, I said that in Rishut HaNizak, Kerin should therefore have no distinction between Shor Tam and Shor Mu'ad. Maybe all Rabbi Tarfon was doing with regards to Kofir was something along those lines. He said, look, listen, if Regel with regards to damaging, not killing, with regards to damage in a public area pays zero, but with regards to damage on a private property pays 100%, well, doesn't it stand to reason that if I'm going to transfer that over to Kerin, where Kerin has Kofir in Rishut HaRabim, 50%, he's gone like Rabbi Yosei HaGalili, if it's Shor Tam, 100%, if it's Shor Mu'ad, let me transfer that now over to Rishut HaNizak. Not because I'm assuming that Regel has Kofir as well. I'm just saying the same way by Nezek I saw that I derived from the bump up from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaNizak because of comparing it to Regel. So too I should do this with regard to the matter of Kofir by Kerin Tam. Again, I'm not tapping into an assumption of there being Kofir by Regel. I'm just saying, well, if by damages, I'm lumping everything together. If by damages the Torah, through my logic, Rabbi Tarfon says, bumped things up, my words, with regards to Shor Tam in Rishut HaNizak, so too it should be with regards to killing and kofir, says the Gemara, Mal nizikin deregel sheken yeshnan me'esh, be'esh. As the Gemara, you wouldn't be able to really pull this off. I'll tell you why. Because if you're trying to compare, and now this is where it gets a little tedious, if you're trying to compare from nezik of regel, you have to understand there's certain things in nizikin that don't apply with regards to kofir. For example, we know already that ish doesn't pay kofir. That's what we talked about at the beginning of the class. If someone likes, you pay for damage. But if you killed someone with ish, lo aleinu, you're not paying kofir. Well, what's the halakha with regards to ish in Rishut HaNizak, of course you're paying 100%. You're paying 100%, but how much kofir? Zero kofir. Clearly, we can't compare the worlds of Nezik and kofir. If I find that Ish is 100% liability by Nezik, but nonetheless, zero with regards to kofir, you can't tell me that I'm going to compare Nizikin of Regel to the kofir of Keren, says the Gemara, Mali Nizikin de Regel Sheken Yeshnan Be'esh, says the Gemara, Mitamun, maybe I'll say, but there's a liability, there's a leniency with regards to fire. Fire is exempt when something's hidden, that we talked about several times in the Masechet. We're going to go through these lines in the next 5 minutes, somewhat swiftly. With regards to Tamun, you have on fire a leniency. You don't have a liability over there. By Regel, even if something's hidden, you do pay. Male Tamun sheken yeshno bebor, says the Gemara. It's true that when something's hidden, you don't pay for fire, but you do pay if it's hidden and it fell into a pit. Rashi says if items are in a sack, if animals are in a sack and they fall into a pit, even though it's hidden, you're still paying for it. So clearly you don't exempt entirely hidden things with regards to damages. Says the Gemara, Mikelim, says the Gemara, the Kelim then should be our proof with regards to a pit, or a disproof. With regards to a pit, the only liability aside for the bihuda that you have when something falls into a pit is if it's an animal, not if it's utensils. Oh, so that being the case, you see you have something that's more deficient in the world of nizikin. You can't then apply it to the world of kofir. Malekelin sheken yeshnan be'esh, answers the Gemara, mikelim temunim, says the Gemara, maybe I should be able to say the following: if there's hidden kelim, if there's kelim which have no liability in a pit, and they are timunim, they have no liability with regards to a fire, I should say that in though that situation, clearly there's a leniency in the world of nizikin. As a result, you're not going to apply, you're not going to break my kal vachomer, answers the Gemara, lekelim timunin sheken yeshnan be'adam. Even in the world of damages, when a human being breaks something which is hidden and a utensil, he's still liable. You see, you can't apply nizikin to kofir. El alav shema mina mikofir deregel mayetela alma ika kofir beregel shema mina. Says the Gemara, this kal vachomer is not cracked, is not broken. It has to be that the kal vachomer from nizikin is not going to stand strong based on everything we just addressed and dealt with. And how are we deriving this kal vachomer? How are we arriving at the law that you have kofir shalem by shor tam in reshut anizak? You're learning it from kofir of regel. Punchline then for the Gemara is, there is an entity, there is a concept known as kofir, even by regel. Amar le ravaha mi difti le ravina hachena ame mistabera diika kofir beregel. In truth, it is logical, it seems right to me that there's kofir by regel, that you pay kofir by regel, not only by keren. Di isalka da'atach leka kofir by regel, v'tana min izikin de regel mayetela. If indeed, as you deflected and attempted to uphold this interpretation, that we're not learning it from kofir of regel, we're rather learning it from nezik of regel. If nezik of regel, this is the way the Gemara tried to disprove, if nezik of regel is applicable not in Reshut HaRabim, but 100% in Reshut HaNizak, so too it should be by kofir. As he can, says the Gemara, Lifroch male nizikin de regel sheken yeshnan beregel. We should have quite simply disproven and said that regel applies to nezik. That's not a law that's applicable per se to kofir. It has separate and distinct laws. El alav shema mina mi kofir deregel maitela alma ika kofir beregel shema mina. The punchline then of the Gemara, the final statement with regards to this, is not that we're knocking down our initial statement, it's that we're being poshet. We're answering the safek. The Gemara had a safek, an uncertainty whether you're applying kofir by regel or not. The Gemara said it must be that that statement of Rabbi Tarfon is assuming kofir by regel. We tried to disprove that and say maybe he was deriving it from nezik, not from kofir of regel. The Gemara seemed to say that you can't apply it from nezik because Nezek has specific situations where there won't be kofir, and nonetheless there will be liabilities. Nezek would not be a good way of deriving this. Shemat Mina, then the final line is, we have kofir by regel and by shin. That's the halach al maaseh on this. Okay, we resolved that. We finished that sugya. Hame'ayen ya'ayen yoter. I'd be happy to go through the nitty-gritty with you, but it'll take us a lot longer and a lot more spinning heads than even at the moment to get through each of those specifics. Or you could just listen to it. All the details were in my quick words on that. The next Mishnah, though, brings us forward to Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik, we saw mentioned in the Mishnah, we said there are five situations where it's Mu'ad Mitahilato. Kerin begins as Tam, Regel and Shin do not. Adam, what about a human being who damages the property of another? What's the halakha in such a situation? Says the Mishnah, Adam Mu'ad Le'olam. A human being is considered Mu'ad not only from first act of transgression, in other words, from first damage, but also any type of damage, any situation, any context. How so? Ben shogeg ben mezid, whether they willingly and knowingly damaged or accidentally did so. Ben er ben yashin, whether awake or sleeping. All and any situation that a person will find themselves in, they're liable if they damage the property of another person. Why do we have two cases over here? Just say whether it's purposeful, mezid, or accidental, shogeg. Why do we say awake or sleeping? What's the chidush in that? Nimuke Yosef suggests that you maybe would have said that sleep is onus. The chidush is sleeping is not onus. What's that? Didn't we learn that? Judah remembers. We learned in Tosafot and Davdalid Amud Aleph, they quoted from Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi distinguishes and makes the following case. It says, what happens if I go to sleep and there's no utensil next to me? And I wake up in the morning and someone put the utensil, they put the vase next to me and I knocked it over. I went to sleep on the airplane and there was nothing on the table next to me. I woke up, someone put their computer and knocked it over. Such a situation, says Talmud Yerushalmi, patur. Why patur? The assumption of Tosafot on Daf Dalet is, and on Daf Kaf Zayin is, that's considered onus, and 100% onus is considered patur. So our Mishnah, according to this line of logic, goes as follows. If a person is 100% quote unquote out of hand, I couldn't have avoided this, I am patur. The Mishnah is telling me when I went to sleep and add in the detail and the item was next to me already, that's not onus, that's pishi'ah, that's negligent on your behalf. You went to sleep and your wife left the, not your wife because it's your property, whatever, someone left the item next to you, you should have known, but when I was sleeping, I wasn't conscious. That's not onis gamur. So those are the first two things. The Mishnah concludes and it says, what about sime et ein havero, if a person blinded the eye of their friend or a person they know, shiber et hakelim, or they broke their utensils, not on their body, what's the halacha? Mishalem nezik shalem, you pay 100%. It seems redundant, you already told me that. The Mishnah will derive a halacha from that. We're comparing in this final line, blinding a person, that's what we call havala, if I do something to your body, and what we call nizikin, breaking a utensil. They're a little bit different. What we mentioned yesterday already, what's the difference between hurting a person and damaging their property? Hurting a person, you pay five devarim. Remember, you pay shevet, ripui, boshet, sa'ah, all those additional payments. When you break their property, there's no embarrassment, no pain, no loss, no any of that sort of business. But the Mishnah concludes with that. So fundamentally, what do we read in this Mishnah? Adam mu'ad le'olam. A person is considered mu'ad, 100% payment from first infraction, irrespective of whether purposeful or accidental. We'll continue with this tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.